This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. So glad you can join us. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. It is always a good Friday when we can talk to our stars and NHL insider, EP Ringside's own, D Magazine's own. If you watched the movie, the late game movie, he was the starting goaltender. If you haven't watched the late game movie, you're late to the party. You need to check that out and support our very own Sean Shapiro. And he also has a Substack where he's putting out stars information. It's called Shap Shots. And we welcome in the greatness of Sean Shapiro. How are you, my friend?
I think I'm doing better than the Dallas Stars this
morning. Yes.
I think that's one way to put it. A little tired. Yesterday was a busy day, and I mean a good day. I watched. I put in the heavy lifting of being able to watch some golf during the day while working, then watched the Frozen Four, and then watched some Stars hockey as well. So I did the heavy lifting, quote unquote, yesterday. But it's a little tired today. But I'm good. I'm good.
That is awesome, Sean. You are a cup winner in your recreational league. You now have some competition. I mentioned it on the podcast last night. Our very own Spits and Suds listener from the Italian League, Florian Wiesel, wins the cup. It's his fifth championship in the Italian League.
That is, that's way more impressive than what I've done. So that is, so big shout out to Florida. That's impressive.
I know.
That's impressive.
He sent me a picture of the whole team surrounding the cup. It was awesome. He actually had the game winner with just over a minute left in game five. So, big series, big doings. Really, really impressive. Heck of a run in his Italian hockey career. So, I just thought that was so cool. And, you know, he took the time to send me a message and say, check this out. And I was just so amped for him.
I am. I'm looking at his shout out. One of my my places of work. I'm looking at his I'm looking at his Elite Prospects page right now as we're
pretty good, huh?
As we're talking, pretty good, pretty good.
So. I mean, we got to talk. You know, I got to get in with Florian and see if he's a good two way player. I know these offensive numbers are awfully good, but can he play two way? That's going to be. Can he play the Patrice Bergeron style of hockey? That's the question. Okay, we wanted to open it up. Just give me your thoughts on last night's loss against Winnipeg.
Yeah. My first thing, and I just posted something up on my site literally before we hopped on here. It was that game locked us in to the what we kind of all knew was coming, but now we get into basically the 8-9 day buildup to Dallas, Colorado, right? It's it's made a lot of it. It's I had a, I just published a piece about this, and I got my guy at Sports Tunes to put together some pretty sick work. People awesome. Should check it out. There's a to build me a, he built me out a boxing style poster for, like, now we get into this buildup of the of this playoff series. But so, and I don't want to gloss over what happened against Winnipeg. I don't want to gloss over it, Gavin, but I'm kind of more of the spot of, it's a very disappointing and concerning loss, especially after how Tuesday night ended against Vancouver. And it's the story of the day and how we talked about all of this and everything. And at the same time, in a very weird way, it kind of feels like it doesn't matter. And I don't want to be, and I want to explain where I'm coming from on this, where for better or worse, professional athletes, especially in the NHL and other sports as well, but there really is something to NHL playoff mode. And the Stars have not hit that switch. And I still think they have that switch to hit, because I've been proven wrong before, where I've thought, like, I've watched this team struggle into the playoffs before, and then I've seen them consistently hit that switch come playoff time. So I kind of want to just start with that as a quick, like, framework of where I'm coming from, where it's embarrassing the past two games, and it's bad, and they haven't been playing well for a bit, but I'm also not of the, well, the sky is falling and they're going to get rocked in four games by Colorado. That's not where I'm coming from. So let me start with that. So then, to get to the game last night. Last night, I saw two teams come in to play, two best teams in the West, that at the end of the day, one of them is one of them came in with more motivation last night. One of them came in with a, we're going to lock this up. We're going to claim this division. It's been a big, I know it's been a big driving point for Winnipeg. And another team that came in a little less motivated and did that. So it's kind of embarrassing from a Stars perspective that that's what happened, but that's how I look at that. And you're not, it doesn't matter who's in net on the other side, but especially in Connor Hellebuyck.
Yeah.
You're not going to, if you can't generate offensively, if you're going to have the offensive malpractice the Stars had last night, you're going to lose to anyone. And then when it's the best goalie in the world, it just, you're not getting any breaks. So it's bad, embarrassing loss. It is. It's also, for me, it's also not the whole referendum of this team can't win the Stanley Cup.
I agree.
It's kind of, that's where I'm coming from. It's a very confusing spot right now. If this makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. One of the glaring stats that, I mean, Winnipeg's such a disciplined team. The giveaways last night, 26 mm-hmm. giveaways for the Stars, only 9 for the Jets.
Yeah.
To me, that says a lot. I mean, I know the hits can be deceiving, but 44-27. And I say that because after the game, Winnipeg was talking about the physicality and how they wanted to bring it to the Stars. So I thought that was fascinating as well.
Yeah. And I think there's part of the, for the Stars and part of the way you, I think one of the ways you kind of beat this Stars team right now is you kind of beat them up a bit.
Yeah.
And I think that's a, let's, like, I'm looking at the box score from last night, right? You have, imagine what the hits in this type of game would be, and hits aren't the end all be all, but imagine what the hits in a game like this are if Liam Bischel's not playing.
Right.
The Stars had 27 hits and Liam Bischel had 7 of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Like it's, they are a, they're way more of a finesse team. They're way more of a, they don't go to the hard, they haven't been going to the hard areas lately. They haven't been winning those battles in front of the net. They haven't been doing that. And And I think that's one of the biggest things that I would circle right now for the difference between Dallas and Winnipeg. Winnipeg's already playing a bit of the style they need to play to win in the playoffs. Dallas has not started playing that style yet. So that's that to me is that's a big thing to me of the Stars.
Absolutely. And the
you don't
flip
have to, yeah. Go, and I was just gonna say, like, you don't have to have 40 hits, because hits are also reflective of how you of stylistic play and who has the puck and whatnot. But
correct,
you can't be bullied, and that's what they were.
Yeah, absolutely. And to our Spits and Suds listeners credit, Howie, he also points out something that maybe we should point out, that we're not talking about Colorado enough, being 3-4 in their last seven. Two wins of those needed a shutout. So it's not like both teams are coming into the playoffs red hot. So certainly the Stars have a chance. And then maybe if they can beat Colorado, then comes Haskinen, hopefully. Sagan will be back. I mean, you never know. Injuries will happen. That's the NHL playoffs as well. So we'll see about that. I did want to point out something that we really haven't talked about, and that's the captain, Jamie Benn. Scoreless streak is up to 13 games. He's been sitting on 399 for a while. That's not counting the two games that he didn't play. He's only had 8 goals, Sean, since January 1st, and that's 40 games played. I brought that up on the post game last night, and we all love the captain, but should there be a line shift potentially with this Stars team?
Yeah, I mean, the question for me, and this is the... Is Jamie Benn hitting a wall?
Yeah.
Is Jamie Benn hitting a wall that he has hit a wall? Let's put it that way. He has hit a wall. But is he hitting a wall that
maybe is he hitting a wall that this wall?
No, yeah, but like, yeah, so like, is this no, but is this a wall that there is green grass on the other side?
That's yes.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Like that, and that's where I'm going on this. Like, it happens to every player at some point. And that's why some players, some people wait to retire till after it happens. Some people do it before they retire because they want to go out when they're still playing effectively. It's one of those questions, and this is a... I'm going to be the one that brings up a June/July question, Gavin, when normally you're the one that's throwing it to me, but I'm going to do that, right?
Here we go. But, this is great.
But it's the whole, if you're Jim Nill, and I know Jim has been like, oh, he's a star for life, and he's going to do all that. I'm not throwing Jamie Benn out with the bathwater, but how dedicated are you to that Jamie Benn is a star for life and everything like that? If this is what he is, if the playoffs start in a week and a half and he looks like the old version of Jamie Benn, you're like, oh, okay, it's fine.
Yep.
But it's just like the whole. It's like the whole tough decision that had to be made, and in Modano's career obviously spanned longer than Ben's because of he didn't take as much of the physical punishment playing style wise. Now he took a ton of hits, and there's definitely some things there. But the Stars had to make a very tough decision with Mike Modano at one point, and
yes,
they might be nearing having to make that decision with Jamie Benn this summer.
Absolutely,
and it's something where it's. I don't want to say Jim's painted himself into a corner, but with his comments earlier this year, he's like, oh, I don't like it's one of those where is that really the best usage of your assets? Like, is it going to be you got Mikko Rantanen signed and everything like that. And if Jamie Benn's going to cost $2.5-3 million, even if it's a 35 plus deal or whatever, like, is it worth bringing back Jamie Benn if it means losing some of the money you need for another piece, or
yes,
not bringing back Matt Duchene, or like it's I know these are June and July conversations, but I'm bringing them up now because it's how you have to watch Jamie Benn's game right now. You
Correct.
Have to watch his game right now and assess whether are we seeing the end or are we just seeing a valley? And I don't know what the answer is, but and I'm not the one whose job is going to be reliant on making the right decision on that. But it's something that I have to watch right now. And I think we all have to watch that right now.
I think it's a great point, and I agree. And I'm so glad you brought that up because I didn't want to wait till June and July. And,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I think heading into the playoffs, I don't want to drop him down to the fourth line, but I do want to, you know, let's see what happens. Maybe he will be that re-energized Jamie Benn, but it's certainly worth pointing out. Wanted to point this out as well and get your thoughts. So after what happened against Vancouver in the final minute, so the following day, Coach Pete DeBoer knows what's going to happen. So he walks in before the cameras are on and he says, "You're looking at a history-making coach." And then later he said, "You can put that with my game seven record," which we all know. And some people had a problem with that. Robert Tiffin, I'm on a great Dallas Stars thread, and Robert replied and he said, "I didn't have a problem with it personally." He walked in, knew all the questions would be about the blown lead, so he owned it right off by saying that before the camera turned on. But I get why some people don't like it. Sean, I think I liked it. I like that Pete DeBoer is showing personality. He obviously knows what the question was in the room. I actually think during this losing streak and how he's managed this team this year, I'm not putting Pete DeBoer out there for debate right now. I know some will, because that's kind of the position that usually gets the quick axe in the NHL. But I actually think Pete DeBoer is handling himself real well right now. And I wanted to get your thoughts on what he said.
Yeah, so I think there's a couple different things here. There's a couple different things to unpack here. I have no problem with the way that comment. I have no problem with the, "You're looking at a history." Like, I am, my own sense of humor is very similar at times. Gallo's humor to me is very, I'm completely fine with that, right? I have no issue with what he said. I think that's, and it's who Pete is. He's not changing who he is as a person. Now, the thing I will kind of push back on, where there is, to me, there one of the things lacking about Pete DeBoer's resume is he's never won the big one, right? Like, he's got, like, he's never won a Stanley Cup. He's had playoff success. He's had that, but he's never won the Stanley Cup. He's never he is very set in who he is, and I think there's times that probably things could be better adjusted by the head coach in the game. And I think that is worth discussing. I don't follow the NBA well enough, Gavin, but, like, I don't think what the Denver Nuggets did with their head coach, like, and I'm not saying that the Stars would ever do this, but like, and I don't follow the NBA well enough, so I don't really know how that stuff works, but, like, there's a fresh example right now where, like, aren't the Nuggets, like, in third or fourth in the Western Conference and just fired their head coach?
They just fired, like, Mike Malone and their general manager.
Yeah, like, I think that type of stuff is really is a bit ridiculous to bring up when it comes to Pete DeBoer, when it comes to what you could do right now. I do think there is it is worthy of a discussion of, is he making the right adjustments right now, and will he make the right adjustments in the playoffs? Because Pete has some stubbornness about him. He does. And that's who Pete is. And that's what you sign up for with him as a coach. And credit to Nils Lundqvist for battling through it and having a pretty strong this season this year before the injury and shut down his season. But, I mean, one of the reasons that Nils Lundqvist, the Stars, played only five defensemen in the playoffs basically last year was because Pete was forced to play him and wasn't willing to adjust and give him a chance to do a little bit more. And it's why the Stars kind of some guys ran into a wall. And I worry about, like, and this might be a Jim Nill call, Gavin, but like, and I know technically there's something to play for, but you got to sit Thomas Harley some of these last couple games, right?
Yes.
Right. Like to me, like, you got to sit Thomas Harley. Because of NHL CBA rules, you can't like pull up the entire Texas Stars team. You can't do that. And you don't have the cap space to do it. So you can't do it. But you got to find you got to get Harley out. You got to get I would probably sit Esa Lindell for at least a game or two. Like,
yep.
these are the types of adjustment things that I need to see Pete DeBoer do this week when it comes to making sure show me some adjustments this week so I have better faith in some adjustments in round one against Colorado. So
yeah, it's a great point.
I think I kind of answered your question.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, listen, coaches can have fun too. And yeah. I think it was lighthearted with the press. And yeah. I like that he's showing his personality. I like that he's not panicking. I think that's actually probably the right move with this team right now. So, I mean, yeah. I agree with you, though. I mean, some adjustments definitely need to be made. On the Harley point, Sean, I'm glad you brought that up because last night, 24 minutes, 49 seconds of ice time. A lot of pressure on that ice time, too. It's the 22nd time this season and 15th time since January 31st. And that, to me, is the bigger stat. So since the loss of Miro Heiskanen, clearly everything's been on Harley's shoulders. So that's the 15th time since January 31st that Harley has logged at least 24, 49 of ice time in a game.
Yeah.
So you're right. Needs a rest.
He needs a rest. He does.
Yeah. So I was thinking of this question because I was thinking about doing a podcast of top five stars I feel need to step up come playoffs. Is there someone that you feel would be that player right now? Because for me, I look at Mikko Rantanen as an elite player, but I also look at a person who's been on four different teams since January 1st. And are the expectations too high for him to take control in the playoffs based on his previous playoff success?
I mean, he is a playoff performer. Like, he is, I believe there's something about his points per game is pretty high up there for, actually, I'm going to look this up while we're talking, but like, great production value, huh? Me Googling something, but so like Mikko Rantanen is eighth all time in NHL points per game.
Wow.
And if we include, and if we go through and take out, with all due respect to, with all due respect to Gary, let me make sure I've got the games here. With all due respect to like a Barry Peterson who played 34 games and had in the '60s and everything like that. We're talking about the only players with more points per game in the playoffs than Mikko Rantanen right now are Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Nathan MacKinnon, and Mark Messier. Those are the only people in NHL history, and I'll include Barry Peterson too, because Barry played in the '60s and he played 30 games or whatever it was. So good, but so we won't rip on Barry. But you know what I'm saying? Like, this is the, if you're going, if Mikko Rantanen is going to be worth the money he's got, this is why you signed him, right? These are, he has more. Now, Crosby's played more games, obviously, in the playoffs, but he is a better point-per-game player in the playoffs than Sidney Crosby, a better point-per-game player in the playoffs than Nikita Kucherov. He is a has more points per game in the playoffs than a Mike Bossy, than like anyone, right? So these are, the expectation is that that's who he is, that's his profile. So if Mikko Rantanen is going to be worth the deal that they signed him, he's going to have to step up in the playoffs.
Yeah, that first line needs to dominate.
Yeah. And so to me, it's Mikko Rantanen needs to step up and do that. And then I don't know if it's one individual player, but you need somebody from the collective of Tyler Seguin, because Tyler will be back. Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, Mason Marchment. Matt Duchene's been playing well already, so I'm just kind of assuming Matt Duchene will step up. Like, you need somebody from kind of that trio to step up, to spearhead, so you really have a dual line.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So you really have a kind of a second tip of the spear when you talk about lines, right? Like if I'm talking about one line, if it's the Rantanen line and I'm expecting him to step up, you need one of those other two lines, whether it's a Benn, a Duchesne, a Marchment, and it could be, I think Wyatt Johnson's game is obviously John, but you need somebody else to step up to add some of that deep dimension to your offense. So it's not just, hey, can Mikko Rantanen outscore Nathan MacKinnon? It's, we don't need Mikko to outscore Nathan MacKinnon. We have two lines that can outscore Nathan MacKinnon. But that's kind of that's kind of what I see. And we could go through the roster a couple different ways, but that's how I look at that. So
yeah, so there's also an interesting thing to bring up on Spits and Suds, because we're so focused on Dallas Stars and we're talking about the return of Tyler Seguin. Our first round matchup against Colorado, Gabriel Landeskog. Mm-hmm. If you remember that name, just a core piece of the Colorado Avalanche that basically, Sean, safe to say, out for 2 years?
He's missed three full seasons.
Three full seasons. There you go.
Last game, because I wrote something about it this morning and I looked up, his last game in the NHL was June 26th, 2022. And it ended with Gary Bettman calling him over to lift the Stanley Cup.
Wow.
That is the last time he played a hockey game. So he is great. I mean, one of the great people in hockey. I've spoken with Landeskog quite a bit, obviously, over the years. And it's a great story to see him battling back after this. And I believe he's going to be in the lineup tonight for the Colorado Eagles in the AHL to kind of test it out to see how it goes. And I don't know how good of a hockey player he'll be in this playoff series. I don't know, but you talk about an emotional boost. I mean, I get out of goosebumps right now. And I know Pete, as a hockey fan and as a hockey person, I just got goosebumps right now thinking about what that arena in Colorado is going to be like before game three, when they announce him in the starting lineup.
Kind of reminds me of Stamkos coming back for that one game a couple of years ago against the Stars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're a beast. We're looking forward to the playoffs. Thank you so much. So that article is up on Chap Shots?
It is. It is right now. It's getting us all prepped for the starting to look ahead to the Dallas Colorado series, which is not technically completely locked in, because it would require a miracle technically miracles can't happen, but it's locked in. Okay. And so that's up on Chap Shots now. Check that out. We'll have a big weekend for the people, by the way. So tomorrow I'm driving out to Grand Rapids tomorrow for Texas versus Grand Rapids.
Nice.
And then Monday, the Stars are in Detroit.
Yeah.
And
lots of Sean Shapiro info.
To break a little bit of news for some people here. And I haven't even told anyone who listens to this podcast. So I guess I'm breaking this news for him. But cool, it's fun. Why not? Driving to Grand Rapids with me, and then hopping in the car with me on Monday, our pal Robert Tiffin.
Really?
So, yes. Robert Tiffin is coming to the Midwest. We are going to hang out for a couple days, and it's going to be like old times in Stars Land for Robert and I this weekend.
Do you have special accommodations due to his injury?
He will have to hobble his way up the stairs. My guest room, my guest room is upstairs, so he will have to go in upstairs.
So but, Robert Tiffin gets invited before Gavin Spittle. This is a little jealousy right now, I'm going to be honest.
Well, the invite's always open.
All right, cool.
The invite is always open. Okay. My guest room is open. I'm a big believer in, especially in this business, as people are putting their work in and everything like that. There's many people who let me crash on couches much earlier in my career. And so I am all about the opportunity and doing that. And you know what, Gavin, I will, on top of that, on top of this weekend, we are 8 days away from me flying to Texas for the Under 18 World Championships. I'm really looking forward to that. I will be there for that.
Yeah.
I will be there for some of the first round in person. So anyone who's listening, I will be living at that hotel. I think it's the Aloft that's in Frisco.
Yep. Yeah.
that will be my home base. So I will be around. And so anyone, both you and anyone listening, anyone wants to get coffee and talk Stars hockey, all that stuff, I am very easy to reach Twitter.
So, done deal. So. All right. So getting back to Florian Wiesel, do you think the Italian Hockey League will make an exception if I fly to Italy and allow me to have a day with the cup?
I mean, I think you might have to go on his day with the cup. I think it's his decision.
That's a good point. Yeah,
I think that might be the play. Now, I haven't gotten it yet. I'm going to have to add this to my list of my pitch here of when I most likely the employer that has most likely elite prospects, but when I make my pitch to them to try to get to the Olympics, Winter Olympics in Italy, I'm going to have to, if I'm able to make that happen, and no idea if I will or not, I have to, that's a long-term pitch here to get someone to fund that for me. But if I get that to happen, I'll have to make sure that I have a chance to meet Florian. I would enjoy that.
Need someone by your side.
Yes.
Like as a translator / professional hockey player. Boy, that's a good tandem right there.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. All right. So so you have the Shap Shots. You're going to be covering the Dallas Stars, the Texas Stars. I want to get in a quick plug. Terrific book that you and our friend Stephen Meserve wrote. It's called We Win Here. And I bring that up because there are holidays coming. Father's Day is coming up at some point. And it's a terrific book because you had mentioned this weekend with the Texas Stars and then the Dallas Stars, and there are so many tie-ins. So someone actually bought the book and then tweeted out to both of us, and that makes me feel good. So a lot of good stories in there, Sean.
Yeah, about, I want to say, 2-3 weeks ago, Stephen, my co-author, did a signing down in Round Rock, Texas at the library there, met some people and had some people come out, and it's a really cool thing that we did. And honestly, Gavin, it's part of the reason I'd like to write another book again. I've written two books now about the Stars, right? And I don't know if the next one will be about hockey or the Stars, but it's that type of stuff where as I start to think about things I do in the summer, because I always give myself more homework, I start to think about what I might do next in the book world. So things like that and people enjoying it and reading it. So I it means the world to me when someone says they have your book. I think that's one of the coolest things. So I appreciate those, and I appreciate you shouting it out, and appreciate anyone who's bought it or read it and all of that.
Absolutely. And thank you once again for your Friday visits. I mean, next time we talk, we'll be heading into the playoffs. And real quickie, just spend 60 seconds on this. I don't understand how Colorado finishes its season on Sunday and has all that rest, whereas the Stars finish on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's I understand why the Stars play till Wednesday, because the entire league goes till Thursday. And frankly, with the Stars going to Finland like they did, you have to go and push the you have to have the schedule the Stars did because of their trip to Finland. The Colorado one is weird, right? Like they finish their schedule, they'll be done before everyone else in the league. So it's a big outlier. And the other thing that has been like weird, you look at Colorado's schedule, they've played, I looked at their schedule the other day about this. They outside of the Four Nations break and outside of the Christmas break, where the entire league has off for Christmas Eve, Christmas and Boxing Day, the Avalanche have not had a single stretch in the regular season beyond this one at the end of the season where they've had more than 2 days between games. Not all season. Like, and that was kind of wild for me to see. So that's kind of how their schedule broke down that way. But I go through and I look at it too, where it's like Colorado's playing a 3-4 this weekend. Like, do you really, now those games don't really mean much to Colorado with where they're locked into, so they're just gonna probably rest some guys, but is that really what we want? We want teams playing 3-4s late in the season?
Yeah.
Like, that's the, so, and the other thing that it comes down to for this series, and we can probably have a whole chat about this in the future is there is the rest versus rust conversation to have, right? The the Stars probably, if their season was ending Sunday, I'd be a little bit more concerned about their play right now, right? Because that would be, they'd be sitting on that type of play about for 6-7 days before, like, the Stars have other, they play Utah, they get Detroit, they play Nashville. They have some of these other opportunities to kind of get their game a little bit in order right now, where Colorado is going to be, they could get rusty, right? And I don't think McKinnon played last night, if I remember correctly. You're going to have some other guys who are going to take rests. I mean, so it's a great conversation of rest, because I think sometimes having too long of a break before the playoffs can be a bad thing. And it's why sometimes we see why we see, like we saw it with I think we saw a little bit of it with the college football playoff, right? Mm-hmm. Remember, Kevin? Yeah. Like some of the teams that were,
yeah,
I don't know. It's a really good question.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
It does not make any sense. Okay, everyone, subscribe to Shap Shots if you haven't already. It's a very reasonable price, and you get tons of Stars analytics and thoughts from Sean. We mentioned the book We Win Here, EP Ringside. You can also check him, Robert, and David out. They write for D Magazine and, of course, every week here on Spits and Suds. Thanks, buddy. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one, and always fun doing this, Gavin. So seriously, everyone, if you're listening, give Gavin his kudos. Give him if you see him in person, tell him how good this show is, because yeah, he puts a ton of work into it.
Well, thanks so much, man. And if you have a cup, just let me hoist it. That's all I want in life.
Sounds good.
For Sean Shapiro, I'm Gavin Spittle. Hey, guys, thank you so much. Truly appreciate you listening to Spits and Suds. Until our next podcast, have a great day, everyone.